Hello, and welcome to
You Haven't Seen.
I'm Debbie.
And I'm Ashley.
This is a podcast where we watch movies that everyone has seen but us, and then talk about them, and today we're watching a movie that I have not seen yet, and we're watching Ghostbusters.
Which everyone has seen. I think this is one of the movies that is the most...
I think this is the equivalent of Star Wars for me.
Yeah.
And you.
This is one that I've been trying to get you to see.
And it's actually...
A couple years ago.
This is pretty shameful for me because... My backstory with this is I've seen the opening scene of this at the Bryant Park Library because it was on TV once. So I've seen that opening sequence. But I work in Tribeca, and it's just a couple of blocks away from the Ghostbusters firehouse. And it's actually just in terms of, like, personal importance to me, it's up there because one of the big reasons that I moved to New York instead of L.A., was just in my mind that I had a big thing of in terms of, like, tangibility of the industry.
Yeah.
Where in L.A., a lot of things are on back lots and very, you know, there are the whole studios where there's the gates inside the studio and you have to go. It's just the process of going through the gates. Whereas in New York, I can go up and I can kick the Ghostbusters firehouse if I want to. Everything here just always, to me, seems so much more tangible.
Mm-hmm.
And so there have been times when I have been feeling frustrated and I have gone over and actually kicked the Ghostbusters firehouse just kind of as a mental, like, F you, I'm gonna do this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of my own little mental quirks, and it does always make me feel better. It's kind of always like, screw you, I got this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna go kick the Ghostbusters firehouse. Because it's one of the most iconic... You know,
definitely.
Images in movie history, and I can go over there and kick it if I want to. So, just in terms of, like, motivation for me, I don't know what this tells you about me, but that has always been a very motivating idea for me, was that this is right there.
Yeah.
I can reach out and touch this, you know? So, just, it has always kind of helped me be motivated in my career.
It works.
But I have never seen Ghostbusters. I
can't believe that.
And because also in my mind, because of my whole analogy, it's kind of a little bit like, I don't even need to see Ghostbusters to know the importance that this building has.
Yeah.
You know?
And to be fair,
yeah,
it is a working firehouse.
Yeah, it is a working firehouse, guys. And that's something that a lot of people don't understand because, like I said, I work a couple blocks away. It's between my office building and my train station. So I walk by it because that's just my commute. And there have been so many times where there's a fire in downtown Manhattan, and this is a working firehouse in downtown Manhattan, and people don't get out of the way.
Yeah.
Or they get mad. So, readers, if you ever come to New York, please be courteous to those firemen, because that's a working firehouse. You cannot go on tours of this firehouse. Please don't yell at them because of that. Because that's another thing I've seen. Where I'm
really?
Like, what? Do you think that this is Disney? And these are cast members? And this is just their costume? No! These are actual firemen who are trying to do their job.
That's
so,
crazy.
Just rant over. Okay.
So, Ghostbusters came out in 1984.
Yes.
It was written by Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis, who also star in the film, with Bill Murray.
Yes.
It's directed by Ivan Reitman. And also stars Sigourney Weaver and Rick Moranis.
We like all these people.
I love all these people. So, like I said, I've been trying... This has been a movie that's been on the list for a really long time.
Yeah, since the conception of this podcast.
Yeah, because I just couldn't believe... Because I'm a huge Bill Murray fan. Like, my dad loves Bill Murray.
And the thing is, I'm a huge Bill Murray fan, too. I just haven't seen Ghostbusters.
So, I saw this movie when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it came out in 1984.
Yeah.
So I didn't see it until...
What year were you born?
87.
Okay.
So coming out a couple of years before I was born.
Yeah.
So I didn't really see it until I was in the teens.
This is another one I attribute to my 90s gap, by the way.
But I definitely, like... I mean, for me, I've seen Ghostbusters 2 a lot more than I've seen the first Ghostbusters.
Because you said it was always on TV, right?
Always on TV.
Yeah.
With Stripes. Weird combination. But, yeah. So, I love this film. It's one of my favorites.
And I'm excited to watch it. Anything, any other stats we should know?
We could do taglines.
Oh, you know
Nosferatu won't have taglines.
Yeah, I was like, we didn't check for the last episode. readers, we're recording these back to back. We should do taglines.
Yeah. There's two re-release taglines, which we won't do.
Should we talk about the new Ghostbusters that's coming out and how just we're excited for it?
I can't even put into words how excited I am for this movie.
Guys! Oh my gosh, though. Bear in mind, I haven't seen it yet, and I'm so excited about it.
I cannot wait.
When they were all in the jumpsuits.
I, like, actually got emotional when they were all in the jumpsuits.
And
they
showed actually, the I ended up crying at work when Melissa McCarthy tweeted the picture of all the women on set.
Yep.
And actually, can I talk about this for just, like, a abridged version of just, like, 2 minutes? Because, like, I work in the film industry, and it's a lot of guys. And during the last film festival, we gathered all of the production crew, so anyone who was camera, sound, producers, post-production, into one room. And the other, out of the three producers, two of them couldn't be there, and they're both women.
Mm-hmm.
And then so it was me in a room with about 20 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the third producer, actually, after we all had the meeting, came up to me, and he said, he was like, Debbie, I didn't realize until I was talking to you all just now about how you're basically the only woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sorry, pretty much. He was like, so it was just more of touch base. It's like, I know you're going to be fine, but like, just so you know, I didn't intend to put you in such a minority, which I had really appreciated because I didn't realize it because I'm just so used to working with guys. And just seeing all of those women on set holding what their jobs were, and even though none of them were even post-production, which is what I do, but just seeing all of them there and how they were just all so happy, I'm tearing up right now. Like, I was crying at work, and the other editor with me, he was looking at me like I was a crazy person, because what I kept saying was, look at all of them. And I was just so, like, just... I'm losing it now, but, I am gonna go see Ghostbusters, like, 10 times in the theater when it comes out.
Yeah.
It will be a financial success, if only because of my money, because I am just so excited for all of the women that were just so, like, here we are.
Yeah.
You know? It meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
But, sorry. I need to compose myself. Keep talking, Ashley.
I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan, and I love this cast, too. So I'm excited for the new cast. Like, Kristen Wiig's amazing.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a good cast. The only thing I'm concerned about is...
Chris Hemsworth.
God, Chris Hemsworth being the secretary is is my favorite. Like I said, I cannot describe how excited I am for the new Ghostbusters. However, they have said repeatedly that the new Ghostbusters kind of takes place in the Ghostbusters world, but not really.
Okay.
But everyone has cameos so
far. Oh, that's exciting. I just knew Bill Murray.
Dan Aykroyd apparently signed up.
Nice.
And Ernie Hudson, I can't remember, but I feel like maybe there's something.
Okay.
Rick Moranis said no.
Oh, bummer.
But he's retired from acting, so that is to be understood.
Yeah.
So I know a couple of them are coming back, so.
It makes me nervous the same way that the new Star Wars movie makes me nervous. It's because I so desperately need it to be good.
Yeah.
Where it's more of just the level in which I will be disappointed if it's bad is astronomical. And so I am so excited, but also just like, and the thing is, I don't know why, because in both cases, it's filmmakers that I am like, I enjoy the things they make. You know, I think they're good filmmakers, and I think the cast is good, and everyone involved, I'm like, you all are good at what you do. Congratulations. I need you to keep that up for just at least one more movie. Just, I don't know. Just, I'm a little jaded because of all of the, you know, Jurassic World stuff. I'm just getting a little, like, blockbuster weary.
Yeah.
But.
Let's do taglines, and then let's get started.
Okay.
All right. So, Ghostbusters. Taglines. They're here to save the world.
Coming to save the world this summer.
We're ready to believe you.
You.
Who are you gonna call?
Ghostbusters! Readers, we both punched the air on that one.
The Supernatural Spectacular.
They ain't afraid of no ghost.
The world's most successful comedy. That one actually does suck. We should have done that one.
The thing.
Okay.
All right, so let's, I'd say we let's watch get this. Into it. Yeah, let's do this.
Hey guys, we're back.
So here's the thing.
What are you gonna call?
Say
it. Ghostbusters.
Terribly sorry. Didn't realize I missed my call.
I asked.
Sorry. Terribly sorry. I was actually getting to the task at hand.
Oh, fine.
So, two things. One, yes. I literally wrote four notes because I love this movie. And second of all, the theme song started and Debbie, she goes, I've never listened to this song. And I was like, first of all, the music video is amazing.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah.
It's like, everyone knows the da-da-da-da-da-da, and everyone knows the Who You Gonna Call Ghostbusters thing.
Right.
Oh, I have never listened to the verses.
They're amazing.
Never. Never listened to the verses. It's like when you hear the entirety of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air song.
Yes.
When you're just like, what is happening? There's more to this? Same thing. Same thing, guys. And so I was laughing at the lyrics and Ashley's sitting there looking at me like I'm a simpleton. Because
it's always on the radio at like Halloween and stuff.
You know, I don't ever, because I do Spotify, so I never listen
to... But, like, when you were a child.
Oh, no, I only ever listened to the radio when you were driving. And usually we listen to CDs, because we have requests. We control the music, Ashley.
See, I was in the days before there were CD players in cars.
Oh.
We had to listen
like
to the radio.
Like, you're ancient. Born in 87. Oh, before my time.
So, what do you think about this movie?
I thought it was really funny, and I just, my favorite thing about it was probably Bill Murray's character, because, Peter Venkman, because he's so sarcastic all the time, but at the same time, I don't think I have seen many characters that are equal levels of even keel and sarcastic. Usually they're sarcastic, but more of like, oh, they're too cool for anything. He's up for anything.
Yeah.
But he's not going to take anything seriously. But he's also like, whoa, 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 wait. I want to live here. What did you say about not crossing the streams? I'm going to, you know, like, yank your tail about this. But, like, it's bad how? All right, let's do it. Just the combination of being up for it, but also not, like, being a total asshole, to be perfectly honest, the entire time. But such a good-natured one that you kind of forgive him.
That's the thing. Bill Murray, I find very hard to describe why I like Bill Murray.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking, like, Lost in Translation Bill Murray. This is pure, like, 80s Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Like, Caddyshack, Ghostbusters, Stripes, all of those films. Because he plays people who aren't necessarily on the offset super likable.
Yeah.
But he is, like you said, he's enthusiastic, and he doesn't hate his friends.
No.
Like, yes.
He doesn't hate, because the thing is, he's not like a judgmental character, really. He's up for anything. Man, come aboard. He's just so, like, laid back, but also so sarcastic. And the first time we see him, he's performing a bogus experiment. But that poor guy was like, and then when he guessed it right, he kept shocking him. And the girl, he's like, you are just such a talent. It's like, no! Do not meet up with him at 8 o'clock. Bad professor. Safety first. Take a buddy. But the library scene, I have seen that.
Okay.
Because it was just on TV, and I watched the library scene. And when the first summer I spent in New York, I went to that library.
The New York Public
and
Library.
The New York Public Library in Bryant Park. Yes. Those are different branches.
Right. The main one.
Yeah, I went to the main one, and I was walking in that room, and you're not allowed to take pictures in there.
No.
I had my DSLR, just very obviously a camera, and I thought it was really, really funny because I had it around my neck, and I was just like, you know what, screw it, I'm going to take pictures until they tell me to stop. And so I was taking my pictures with a camera that is very obviously a camera, and there is this man next to me taking a picture on his iPhone. And the security guard, we hear someone say, no pictures, no pictures. The security guard walks past me to the man with the iPhone and is like, I'm going to need you to delete that. And so I walked away with my ginormous camera just into the other room and did not get in trouble the entire time.
Maybe they just assumed that you were, like, a professional.
I think maybe they thought I was a reporter or something. Because yeah. I was like, we're going to yell at this man with the iPhone? And I'm sitting here, like, changing lenses and you're not going to get mad at me? But yeah, that was my Ghostbusters. That was like, I mean, because my mom, like, you know, my parents have seen Ghostbusters, yeah. and I sent her the pictures of, like, look at where I went, and all were happy. But the special effects in this are really good.
That's the thing. And they, I mean, some of them...
The VFX sometimes don't hold up.
No.
But any practical effect...
Beautiful.
It's when all the library cards go...
Yeah, that's my favorite.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
And it's actually terrifying. Like, it's a scary opening.
Yeah, it is.
That's the thing. Like, I watched this movie when I was a kid.
Yeah, it would be scary.
Yeah. I mean, but there's, like, definite kid scenes. Like, Slimer mm-hmm. is a kid.
Yeah.
I remember, I think when Ghostbusters 2 came out, I was aware of more of the hype.
Yeah.
Then, and, like, that I had ectoplasm.
Okay.
Like, silly
yeah,
spray
silly
cans.
String.
Yeah. And, like, I had a Slimer. Because, like, the TV show was up into the cartoon.
And I feel like the Marshmallow Man is such a...
Yeah.
Kind of a kid thing. Because it's the Marshmallow Man.
Right, that's the thing. But, like, the movie itself does really lend itself to being a kid movie. But it's, like... But it's funny. It has some really good jokes.
It does.
but, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I just... So you saw the beginning, but you didn't know who any of these characters were.
I mean, I kind of knew who I knew, like, visually, oh, these four are the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Sigourney Weaver is love interest. I did not know about the character Lewis, who I love with a burning passion now. Just when, later in the movie, he's like, because he's in love with, he lives across the hall from Sigourney Weaver's character,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, oh, I want to come over, I'm having a party. And she goes, oh, no, I'm sorry, I have a date. And he goes, oh, that's okay, you can bring him too. And I'm like, Lewis, you sweetheart.
But then I was, like, going around the party telling people, I only invited clients so it could be a business
expense. But you know what, though? Like, it's a swinging party.
It was.
And he, like, his excuse of, that's why I invited clients instead of friends, no business expense, when everyone knows, like, Lewis, you don't have friends.
You read into that.
It's probably a much better party that he invited clients. But I love seeing movies set in New York. I think we talked about this a little bit with Leon the Professional.
Yeah.
But, oh, it makes me happy.
That's the thing. Like, we were, anytime somewhere we knew, we both went, hey!
Hey! When there was the overhead shot of the firehouse when all the ghosts are escaping through the ceiling, I was like, you know, at the other end of that block is a very swanky coffee shop now. Betcha didn't know that. And this was before Tribeca was Tribeca.
Right.
You know? This was when it was still kind of like a warehouse district.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I always think is fascinating. My office is actually in an old, like, I guess, sugar warehouse and stuff. And a couple of our doorstops are just ginormous pieces of iron from, like, a machine that they're like, oh, it's rustic. Clank. This will keep the door open.
Found it in the basement.
Yeah.
I'm just going to ask you a question.
Yeah.
So, what did you think about this film in terms of... I mean, how do you view this film? Do you view it as a scary movie?
No.
Okay.
It's not a scary movie. It's a comedy.
Alright. Just making sure.
Yeah, I know.
What were some of your favorite... Well, let me ask you this. Who's your favorite Ghostbuster?
Favorite Ghostbuster... See, I like Bill Murray
mm-hmm.
because it's Bill Murray, but I also, I wrote his name down because we all know how I am with names.
Egon? Or no. Ray?
Winston. Yeah. Bill Murray's character, whose name is?
Peter Venkman
and Winston. And the thing I love about Winston is he comes into the Ghostbusters thing because he just, like, he needs a job. But he is just so, and the thing I love about all the Ghostbusters is how, just as people, they're so non-judgmental. They're like, welcome aboard, stranger. Here's how we store the ghost. Like, have a Twinkie. I mean, they're just so, like, welcome aboard, fellow man. Like, welcome to the team. And Winston just is like, all right, this is my job now. Shoot, like, here we go. Let's go. And I like that he offers a perspective of, like, the other three are so just, they know the system of academia, mm-hmm. where a lot of times it's like, oh, you have this job, but your job is to study, mm-hmm. you know? But he's like, I need a job, guys. I need a job. So I'm applying here. This is my job, okay? And then when they finally defeat the Marshmallow Man at the end and everything, and he's covered in fluff, and he just is like, I love this town! I was like, that's just a funny moment to insert the New York dream into a movie. Which is, anything can happen in New York. That's you can thing, become yeah. a Ghostbuster. Yeah, so I have a soft spot for him. I do like the secretary a lot, though. What was her name?
Janine?
Yes, Janine. You like her, too.
I do like her, yeah.
Just because she's so, like... When the first call they get at the hotel... Oh, yes, we'll be very discreet, okay. And then she hangs up. We got one! Like, alarms are blaring, like, discreet. Psh, nah. No one's gonna be discreet about this. We're gonna blare the alarms and, like, pull up in our jumpsuits and whatnot. I thought that was funny.
So what did you think about the first heist, the first ghost capture in the hotel? Because that's the first time we yeah. see Slimer, who becomes, like, an unofficial mascot yes. for the Ghostbusters.
I liked it. I just thought it was really funny how when they were billing the guy,
they scammed him.
Yeah, and he was like, I won't pay that. And like, well, all right, we will put this right back. And because Bill Murray says it just, you know, off the cuff, like, it seems like most of his lines are. It just seems like he improvises his life where he's like, well, I guess, yes, and okay, we can put it back. But then the other two, just whatever he says, they're like, oh, okay, we're doing this now. And there's never a question of put it back. What? But we just, this is the first ghost we caught. We go, well, he said to put it back, so yes, we can put this right on back. So I just like how it ended up, and how I also have written down, you know what the world doesn't have enough of anymore? Is midnight buffets. Why don't we all get dressed up and go to a swanky hotel and have a midnight buffet? That sounds like a great time to me. My two cents.
A lot of weddings will do that. We did like a midnight snack.
Oh, really?
At my sister's wedding, yeah.
I've never stayed up till midnight at a wedding.
We stayed up till 3 a.m. at my sister's wedding.
See, the difference is...
we left the bride and groom, though. The
yeah, party. I have not gone to a wedding over the age of 21. Mm. So I have not been able to be like, wedding yeah. yet, you know?
No, we went wedding.
Yeah.
It was rough.
Your family party's hard.
Yes, I do.
Oh my gosh.
No, so like I said, I saw this movie when I was younger, and mm-hmm. the scene in the hotel was my favorite scene by
far. It's funny.
It's so funny. And like when Bill Murray gets slimed.
Yeah.
It's like, you slimed me. Like that.
Yeah.
But hilarious. And I love Slimer. I think he's hilarious. Yeah. Like, it's such a kid ghost.
It is
like,
such a kid ghost.
He's just gonna eat and drink everything.
The first ghost we saw, that lady in the library.
She was scary.
Is scary. She turns into the skeleton. That's scary.
Right.
Slimer is a floating flubber.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's the first time, like, we see them as the Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. They have their costumes. They have the protein packs.
Yeah.
Like, they're legit.
Yeah. And that's where the whole, I forgot to mention one important thing.
Don't cross the strings.
That's bad. Like, let's clarify here. Bad seems a little vague. We're gonna need to know how bad is bad.
So, moving on. So, they kidnap their first ghost.
They catch their first ghost.
Catch their first ghost.
They hold it almost, it reminds me of, like, holding a rat by the tail.
Oh, it's like, no, this is...
Yeah.
So, they catch their first ghost, and then they become famous, basically. Yeah. Which I think is insane.
Yeah.
And especially, like, I feel like now it's like, yeah, you would totally be Instagram famous.
Yeah.
Like, if that happened.
And I also think it's funny because then they're famous and you see them on talk shows and stuff, but then they're running around the street and no one they're running by knows who they are.
You can see kind of, some people turn around,
some people
though.
Know, but it's not like a swarm of people follow them.
No.
Which I feel like is just very New York because,
yeah,
I mean, you could be Tom Hanks walking around and 50% of the people will just be like, oh, this guy's in my way.
Yeah. Well, also, I feel like if it was the Ghostbusters mm-hmm. and they're running, I would not follow them.
No. And, like, there have been a lot of times where I'm walking on the street and something weird happens next to me and I honestly don't care and yeah. just walk by it and then think after a couple of steps, should I be concerned? I don't really want to double back. I'll just keep walking.
Or, like, a ton of people would, like, run over and start taking pictures. And I'm like, okay, that's probably someone famous.
I walked by the other day. God damn it. See, I forget who it was because I don't watch the show. But it apparently it is, like, the fourth or fifth season of some TV show. One of the lead actors in it, and because I don't watch the show, I don't remember what it was. The information went in one ear and out the other, and my coworkers were like, Debbie, did you see who that was? And I was like, no. And they said this name to me, and I was like, who is that? But apparently it was someone famous, and I didn't notice them, but it is a long-running joke at work that I walk by famous people and don't notice these famous people. I walked by Robert De Niro and didn't notice that it was Robert De Niro. I zone out when I'm walking, you know.
You've walked past me before.
I have. So, no one should get offended if I completely ignore you walking.
I did.
That's when I'm... Yeah, I already apologized to you about this. Because I do feel bad. When it's people I know, it's worse.
Yeah.
RIT guy walked past him on the street, and then my computer broke. And so he comes back, I was like, oh, so now we're friends. And I was like, what are you talking about? Fix my computer.
We were never friends. Just fix my things.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to keep going through the movie.
Yeah, go.
Just based on what I remember.
Okay.
I didn't take notes. So they kidnap they catch their first ghost. They become famous.
Yeah.
And then Dana needs to come back, which is Sigourney Weaver.
Yes.
And that's when, because
she came to them before they really had their act together.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's when the eggs exploded, but like nothing in her apartment
is like damaged. She just has this portal through her fridge.
Right, but it wasn't there when they came back.
Yeah.
So they were like, we'll just do some research. And then they got busy, she got busy,
yeah.
Nothing else weird happened.
Yeah.
But then Peter Venkman has a day off because Harry Winston.
Yeah.
So he goes and asks her out on a date.
Yeah.
Which I thought was adorable.
It was cute.
And
she's just cute.
I love
Sigourney. He's so earnest.
Who?
The Lewis.
Lewis.
Yeah. Oh, wait, sorry. No. We're not talking about Lewis. We're talking about Peter.
Yeah.
He's adorable as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
for different reasons.
Right. But I also forgot to mention, Sigourney Weaver in this film is a cellist.
Yes, for, like, she's a concert cellist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is crazy. Like, out of all the jobs, I don't know, it's just, like, very rarely do you see a cellist on screen.
I feel like that's kind of like a, oh, we need a serious instrument.
Right, it's a cello.
You give them a string instrument. They're a violinist or a cellist, you know?
Well, to be
you never see the concert flutist, whatever.
Flautist.
You never see the concert, like, the orchestra clarinet player.
True. Yeah. But my sister played the cello.
Oh, okay.
So whenever I see cello, I'm always like, oh, that's weird.
See, I think that's an obscure enough instrument.
Yes, and also my sister gets annoyed because in one of the scenes she's wearing a skirt and she's coming from rehearsal.
Yeah.
And my sister's like,
you don't wear a skirt in rehearsal.
Or it would be really long.
Yeah,
and
that's why they always wear the floor length.
Yeah.
Because you got to sit with your knees spread.
That's the thing.
It's unladylike.
So I have many pictures of my sister with her black floor length gown on.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's disgusting. But yes. So, she's a cellist, which is so serious, and I love it. And she lives in Central Park.
Such a nice apartment.
Beautiful apartment.
Beautiful apartment.
She had an...
I also realized watching this, I hardly ever go to the Upper West Side. And I've also never been to Columbia, the campus. Because when they were walking around, I had to double check with Ashley, like, they're at Columbia, right?
To be fair, I've just gone this summer. So,
oh,
I'm
okay.
Like...
Because I've never been there, and I realized as I was watching this, like, I do not spend hardly... any time.
No, that's the thing.
In Upper Manhattan.
No, after 60th.
Guys,
like,
guys, it's way up there.
Right, it's so far away. I just can't be buggered.
Because, like, I mean, we both live in Brooklyn. I work in downtown Manhattan. Ashley works in Midtown.
Yeah.
By the time you get there...
Oh, it takes hours.
It's already... I mean, it's... We've had enough struggle, guys.
Right.
We don't need to keep on going uptown.
No. I can go to.
But the museum, the American Museum of Natural History, is up there, which
and
I do
Central
like.
Park.
That's Central Park is there.
I like going during the summer.
The giant piano at F.A.O. Schwartz used to be there, up there, but it's not there anymore.
Right. They closed F.A.O. Schwartz.
They did. I'm still bitter about it because I just saw the piano recently.
But you also haven't seen Big.
No.
Right? Okay. So we have no context.
The reason I'm so sad about it is because my dad loved it so much, and he was so excited to see the piano when I took him there.
Yeah.
This has been... guys, Big's gonna be a future episode, alright? Calm down, everyone.
This has been...
this New has York been that tips. Darn 90s gap with Debbie. I've seen Sleepless in Seattle now.
I haven't.
Well, let's make a Tom Hanks month.
To be fair, though, I still think While You Were Sleeping is one of the best romantic comedies.
I haven't
comedies.
Seen While You Were Sleeping.
It's amazing. Sandra Bullock.
We should do romantic comedies in February.
We should.
Because of Valentine's Day. Because we're not going to go see Zachary Levi anymore.
Have you seen When Harry Met Sally?
Not all the way through. We keep watching parts of it. We kept watching bits of it in class.
Yeah.
And so that was one of those movies where I was like, I feel like I've seen enough.
Yeah.
I've seen the orgasm scene. In the diner.
I like While You're Sleeping. That's what I'm
okay.
Favorite. Anywho.
Let's go back to Ghostbusters.
So Dana gets possessed.
Yeah. I don't think we need to go through the entire plot.
No? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's a question.
Yeah.
If you were that Ghostbuster.
Yeah.
What Ghostbuster would you be? Or what would you specialize in?
See,
or would you like to do me and I'll do you?
Well, you would be Bill Murray. You would be the sarcastic one, being like, oh boy, guys. Where it's like...
But I would still have your guys' backs.
No, you wouldn't. He has their backs.
Right. That's to be fair. Love.
And I feel like I'm not... At first, I really liked the one with the glasses because Aegon. He's just so scientific.
Harold Ramis, yes.
What are my neighbors watching? Okay, anyway. But I wouldn't be him because he's the pure science. And guys, I'm an editor, so I'm not the pure science. So I feel like I would be the really enthusiastic one.
Ray.
I would be Ray.
Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, you would... My favorite moment, and the moment that
Let's get closer to the mic to try to cut some of the...
My favorite moment, and the moment when I thought, like, yes, this is you, is when Venkman and Aegon are trying to talk the real estate agent down. Yeah. And they're like, oh, you know, there's mold, and this doesn't work, and we don't like this. And then Ray just comes in, he's like, I love this, we're going to sleep here.
Does this pole still work? Yes. That's kind of when I, too, realized, like, oh, I'm this man. I like the science guy just because he's so, like...
Well, that's the thing.
Guys, we haven't had a successful test of the proton packs yet. I blame myself.
I blame you, too.
I blame you, too, because you've been the one running all the tests. Like, but, yeah, I'd be him.
Yeah. But to be fair, though, then Rosie would be Aegon, and I was like, I totally think that's him.
Or you would either be Bill Murray, but I think that if you were just, like, in the cast at large, the receptionist is so, like... Mm. Like, she has such a degree of, like, guys, like...
But that's my real job, though.
Oh, I guess that's true. Maybe that's why I'm like, ha. Ugh. She is such a trooper, though. Like, she puts up with so much.
In the cartoon, she's like a main character.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. That's sweet. That's great. It's gonna be Chris Hemsworth. Which, okay, we were talking while we were watching this, and I was like, have you followed him on Instagram yet?
I do now.
Yeah. And, man, that man is doing Instagram right.
There's only, like, four, like... 10 pictures.
He's only been on Instagram for like 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. I thought it was like a couple months.
It's very recent. Mm. But just the first two, I mean, just the internet at large was like, ah! Because the first one is he's pointing to a freaking ginormous snake in his yard. Because Australia attempts to kill anyone who lives there. And then the second one... Caitlin. And then the second
tweeted
one...
Tweeted us if you're okay.
You okay, Caitlin? For you. Are you still there?
Instagram.
His second Instagram is he's on a treadmill and he has his daughter just like holding her over his shoulder. And we're like, Chris Hemsworth has cracked the code to viral success. So, I am like literally someone just has a bass going downstairs.
Yeah, someone's amp isn't working.
It's so weird. Okay, sorry.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
What?
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So what else can we talk about this movie? I feel like I just like this movie. There's so many one-liners that I like.
Yeah.
I just like Ghostbusters.
Give me two.
When at the end, it's... Can I do three?
Yeah.
Okay, so my first one is when they're talking about end of the times, end of the world, and Bill Murray's like, it's mass chaos, dogs and cats living together. That's a favorite.
That's a good one.
And then they're when, like, Dickless turned off our machine. And yeah. Like, is this true? Yes, it's true. This man has no tick.
Yeah.
I like that one.
But that was that scene in general.
Oh, no, it's beautiful. And then I like that there's really no bad guy in this.
Yeah, I mean, there's the ghost.
Right.
The entity that inhabits the fridge.
Gowser.
Gowser. Gozer.
Gozer. Which...
Because I didn't know what Gozer was going to look like, and Ashley was like, we're going to need to pause it after Gozer appears so I can get your thoughts, you know, straight from the source. And honestly, was not expecting anything. If anything, I was kind of expecting, like, stereotypical, like, ancient Egyptian type of vibe. Was not expecting A, a girl, B, a David Bowie-esque style, C, the sparkly jumpsuit. Skin tight.
Yeah.
Sheer. Ruffles and sparkles jumpsuit. Was not expecting any of that.
No.
So I enjoyed that it was definitely not at all what
I was expecting. That's the thing. I remember, like, just anytime she comes out, I was like, that is exactly what it should be.
Yeah. Where it's like, I'm very glad it wasn't the... Because I was just thinking, oh, like it's going to be some stupid Greek god or, like, pharaoh-esque type thing, you know, but...
And then her voice is like...
Yeah, that was cool how they manipulated the voice as well.
So what do you think about the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man? So that's, like, the...
That's, like, the image for Ghostbusters.
Right.
You know, when you think of it, you think of the green ghost.
Slimer.
And Slimer, and you think of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah.
And I just didn't know the context in which she appeared.
That's the thing. I find that so interesting.
And what happens in the movie is Gozer is like, you know, essentially choose your method of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Murray's like, everyone, don't think of anything, because this is what's going on. It's like, oh, we think of something, that's what destroys us. And then what's his face, Ray?
Ray.
Is like, it just popped into my head! And... That's kind of, because that's just what happened. You're like, don't think of anything. And you instantly think of the most random thing ever. And he was just like, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And then the Marshmallow Man is walking down the street of the Upper West Side. And I'm just like, this is the context in which this appears. Wasn't expecting. I just thought that it was a general ghost.
Really?
You know? Yeah. I thought it was, I knew it was... giant in the sense of larger than people, but I thought it was like 10 feet tall instead of like, you know,
right,
50 feet tall.
Yeah.
Did not know that it was that big. But so I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's kind of like the Godzilla that like terrorizes the city. But like, otherwise, there's really no like, Peck tries to like shut them down.
Yeah.
But like, he comes back like with vengeance, but it's more like a roadblock.
Yeah.
So there's, like, really no bad guy.
No.
It's just, like, Gozer.
Gozer. But Gozer just happens to be the baddest of the ghosts that they encounter.
Right.
There's other, you know, mini baddies.
Yeah.
But the big baddie is Gozer, and there's no... I mean, it's always there as, like, an underlying threat, but it starts out as just another ghost that they're hunting.
Yeah. And then it's, like, yeah, I don't know. I just find it very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That it's, like, there's really no kind of, like, huge battle. I mean, there's a little battle at the end. But it's, like,
Ghostbusters... But they're kind of the thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, the Ghostbusters become famous instantly.
Yeah, they do. There's no battle for them to become famous.
No.
There's, like, the little fight. And then it takes off.
Right. And then it's, like, from there, it's, like, they save the city.
Yeah.
I always like that, where it's just, like... We don't need a story where it's like, oh, this is how
we don't need a saga for them to get famous.
No.
Let's just... I think that's, like, it's kind of the same thing with Mad Max, where it's like, we don't need all this exposition.
Yeah.
How about we just jump into it?
Yeah, and they're like, how are we going to get the money to start this? One line, or one scene where they're like, so you mortgage your house?
Yeah,
okay.
One scene. Lost a job? Great, let's mortgage this man's parents' home. And then go. Let's buy a firehouse. We're in business. 30 minutes into the movie, we've killed a ghost.
Right.
You know?
And there's no, like, we're going to tidy up the firehouse scene. It's just
They did tidy that when they showed
it's
upstairs thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is nice. It's a little weird that they're all sleeping in the same room.
It's a firehouse. But that's a firehouse. Fine. That's yeah, what that's they do
fine.
In a firehouse.
That's fine. I've accepted it. Especially when the one has a sex dream.
No, that happens in a ghost house.
No, it doesn't. They're asleep in the firehouse because it's the three beds. He's dreaming.
Oh.
And the blowjob thing, it's a dream because then he falls off the bed.
Oh. I think that happens in...
Oh, really? I thought that was a dream.
See, I can't remember.
Because he wasn't wearing the Ghostbusters uniform. He was wearing the epaulettes.
Right. Oh. Yeah. Okay. I feel like there was a story behind that or something where it wasn't in... I can't remember. I don't know. There's some kind of story.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
That was weird. Still weird. Okay. Oh, we both enjoyed when the Con Edison man turned up.
Which
I don't understand the logic behind. This right here is like this unauthorized electronic nuclear force that's apparently keeping all this under control. Let's switch it off. Like, I don't understand why you would switch it off.
Because it was bad for the environment, according to the...
Heck. Yeah, I don't know. I saw his logic, but at the same time, I was like, maybe we should look into what would happen if we switch it off before we switch it off. When they were like, if we switch it off, the energy keeping these things inside will go away. Turn it off! I was like, I don't think there's been enough thought that's been put into this decision.
Bankman should have been nicer to him.
Yeah, really should have. Yeah, no, that's all the notes I had on this. Do you have anything else to say?
I don't think so. I mean, I love this movie. I mm-hmm. like the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters 2 gets a bad rap, but I mm-hmm. do think it has its quirks.
Yeah.
It's a much more kid-friendly movie than this one is.
When there is a lot of, like, sexual innuendos and stuff. But yeah. I feel like it's pretty kid-friendly.
That's the thing. I feel like that's just an 80s movie.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of it, like, unless you know what they're talking about, it's just going to go right over your head.
It's like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Like Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I saw Mrs. Doubtfire when I was a kid.
I haven't seen Mrs. Doubtfire. Yeah. Again, I've seen Bets.
Right.
I've seen her vacuuming.
There's a scene in Mrs. Doubtfire where she flips, gives the middle finger out the window, mm-hmm. and I'd never seen it before. And so I went home and I was like, and I was doing the middle finger. Yeah. And my mom was like, what movie did you take her to?
Because that was a thing in Brownies. We were learning manners. And it's like, okay, who knows something? Like, who knows something you're not supposed to do? You know, and one girl was like, you're not supposed to do this. And our troop leader, which is my mom, was just like, that's right. We're not supposed to do that. How about we stop?
You never ask a group of kids, what do you not do?
Well, because it was more of just like, what are things you, like, it's impolite to ask people, was what we were going for. But then it turned into, don't do this! I'm like, all right, new question, guys. What are things we should do? Hold the door open. Yes, let's go with this thread instead. Yeah, anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, okay, so what do you need to know to pretend like you've seen Ghostbusters?
You just need to see Ghostbusters.
Because what I have always referenced is the firehouse and the Bryant Park Library. Like, just knowing the iconic locations, I feel like. Or, I mean, there are certain things that you should know these come from Ghostbusters. Let me rephrase. Mm. Like, the Marshmallow Man, Slimer. There's a couple things that you should just know this comes from Ghostbusters. And that is how I myself have skated by. Okay. Is just being able to visually recognize it and being like, oh, Ghostbusters, you know? Mm-hmm. Because and honestly, this has mostly happened at conventions.
Yeah.
Where someone is cosplaying or someone is wearing a shirt or something. And as long as you can point and be like, Ghostbusters, nice. And they assume you've seen it.
Yeah.
Because everyone has. So, Ashley, what are the other two things that you think they should know?
I think the theme song.
Yeah, the theme song.
Like, if you don't know who you're going to call, like...
Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I mentioned this to Ashley when we were watching it, is that Supernatural finally made a Ghostbusters joke. Finally. Where they said, well, because I feel like they've been sitting on it for a while.
Yeah.
Because they literally, a character goes, like, we should call someone. Who are you going to call? And then Dean Winchester answers his phone at the next cut with Ghostbusters. And so we're like, okay, this is funny. How long has some writer been like, I really want to put in the Ghostbusters joke, guys. I really want to put it in. Here's a phone conversation. How will we put this in there? And I was like, they finally got there.
So yeah, theme song is definitely one you should know.
And then I think you should know that the cast wrote the film.
Is that the one? Who directed it again?
Ivan Reitman.
Okay, that's not one you should know, I don't think.
I mean, he did, like, a lot of comedies. Like, he did Trading Places, and...
I think it's more important you know the cast and the writing than the director,
Totally.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think you need to know that these are the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And, like, each of them kind of, like, Venkman's the playboy, and, like, the head, you know...
They're a well-rounded group.
Right.
Yeah, you should just know the four Ghostbusters.
Yeah. But, I mean, I like this. It's one of the films I enjoy. Mm-hmm. It's also, like, I saw Ghostbusters, and then I really enjoy the pairing of Harold Ramis and Bill Murray.
Which one was Harold Ramis?
Egon.
Oh, okay.
So, like, Harold Ramis helped write Animal House.
Okay.
He did a lot of writing. He directed Groundhog Day.
Oh, okay.
So
it's very much in their vein of comedy.
He also directed Analyze This.
Back to Bob. Yeah. I was like, huh, there's a poster of that in my office. Mm-hmm. But did he direct Analyze That?
I assume so.
Which, if for those you don't know, is a sequel to Analyze This.
But they also were in Stripes together, which I've referred to Stripes a couple times. It is a film that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very weird film, though. It's two films in one. It's very interesting. But I like Harold Ramis and Bill Murray working together. Mm-hmm. I like their sense of humor.
Yeah.
Bill Murray tends to go off a little bit.
Yeah.
And I like that Harold Ramis grounds him.
Yeah. And we all just love Bill Murray as a person.
I'm hesitant to say as a person, though.
I just
feel like he might not be as cool as I think.
Just really love how truly difficult it is for directors to get in touch with him.
I feel like that's not as endearing as people like it.
Well, I think it's because I've never had to try to get in touch with Bill Murray.
Yeah.
But I just like that, I like the idea that someone is truly that far off the grid.
Yeah.
And I like the idea that he just randomly happens to show up places.
Yeah.
And because he is so far off the grid, that it really is a surprise when he shows up somewhere.
That's the thing. I find it... I don't know. I like it better when Tom Hanks does it. I feel like Tom Hanks does it out of the goodness of his heart.
What do you mean? Oh, it shows up somewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Bill Murray kind of does it because you think it'll be funny.
Yeah.
But Tom Hanks does it just because he's... Did you see the pictures on BuzzFeed? He's snowy white hair now.
Tom Hanks. He's Captain Sully.
I want to hug him every time I see him.
He is the conductor from Polar Express now.
Yeah. I feel like you would have cookies for Tom Hanks, right. You know.
That's the thing. I feel like Bill Murray gave me unrealistic dream man.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I had such a crush on Bill Murray when I was
kid. I guess because my exposure to Bill Murray is current day of Bill Murray before old Bill Murray. I'm kind of like, oh.
See, I had 80s Bill Murray.
Okay.
And Harold Ramis.
I feel like...
Huge crush on Harold Ramis.
For some reason, I'm just always like, if you met Bill Murray, for some reason, I'm always like, oh, we would eat waffles.
Okay.
I just feel like he's a breakfast food guy.
So, let's just wrap this up.
Okay. All right, so we will announce the films for next month on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because we haven't decided yet.
Nope. We gotta come up
with
a theme.
We got December down, but, I mean...
December's down.
December's...
We're
good on holidays.
We're gonna do Christmas movies again.
Yeah.
And we might even go see a movie in theaters.
Mm-hmm. We are not going to do Christmas movies in November, though. You have to wait till after Thanksgiving before you do Christmas movies. That's my rule.
What if it's, like, Die Hard?
We did that in December.
Well, I know, but, like, that kind of Christmas... Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Christmas movie.
Oh. But it's Die Hard.
We've decided. Okay, so for the time being, this is
You Haven't Seen.
I'm Debbie.
And I'm Ashley. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, you can check us out on Twitter at YHS_podcast. We'll be posting updates there. You can follow us on Tumblr at youhaventseen-podcast.tumblr.com. And you can also you can also rate and review us on iTunes. The more you rate and review, the higher up we'll go.
Please rate.
So, yeah, rate and review us there. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can let us know on Twitter or Tumblr or email us.
Yeah. We never give out the email.
It's on Tumblr, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, we keep saying email us, then never say the email.
But I mean,
It's youhaven'tseenpodcast@gmail.com. Yeah.
So you can email us there.
It's easier to tweet us, guys.
That's the thing. Tweet us, follow us. We'll DM you.
Yeah. DM us, guys.
DM us, girls.
DM us.
You can also Snapchat.
Yeah.
Periscope.
Oh, God. Snapchat.
I just downloaded Snapchat. Okay. We'll see you guys in November.
Bye.
Bye.